chair. Cold steel. Surprisingly more versatile than just a seat. Put them all together, and you get one hard-hitting hell of a night.
Look at the size of that chair. That's like getting hit with a billboard.
Look at the chair. Look at the shape of that chair.
John Cena's face just slapped that steel chair at the hands of Randy Orton.
There's a chair across two chairs, and he powerbombing through the chair.
Curb stomp out of the chair.
Look down here.
The concerto.
Oh! A double concerto.
A one-man concerto.
Welcome to the Chair Shot Radio Network.
The chair shot.
It's not. Paranoia! It's the O's! Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Chair Shot Radio. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner of thechairshot.com. And today, I am joined by the MVP of thechairshot.com, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the icon, the main event, the real C. Platt. His name is Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. That was actually the first time that I've heard the new intro to the Chair Shot, and it's chair-tastic. It's chair-rific. It's chair-centric.
Yes. Well, it should be.
You know what its favorite movie is?
Nope.
Under the Chair, Remoon.
If DP was here, we'd give you the bell. Instead, I give you the money. So, ladies and gentlemen, the architect of thechairshot.com, DPP himself, he is off on assignment this week. He should be joining us back next week. So if you're missing him, too fucking bad. You got me and C. Platt tonight.
Oh, we got the main eventers on here, man. We're
What's
good.
Up? Yeah, that's right. So as far as DP goes this week.
Delete.
He gone. He'll be back, though. Don't worry, folks. So tonight, for you, we have a very, very special interview with Sin Bodhi and Jake the Snake Roberts, who run Snake Pit Pro Wrestling out in Las Vegas, along with a fantasy camp for all you wrestling fans that want to jump in the ring with a Hall of Famer like Jake Roberts. Follow at Fantasy Slam, and you're going to hear all about that in about 15, 20 minutes. But before we get into that, myself, the commissioner, and our MVP, Mr. Velvet Pipes, we're going to take you through a little bit of some Raw and SmackDown notes. So, to transition into that today. Why not? Everybody loves that music, right? Right, Chris?
Oh, definitely, man. But I thought you were tuning me up, man, for the Indian flute. I didn't know.
Oh. That's a Pod Is War exclusive, I think.
Oh, fair enough. All right, let me throw that away then. You got to tune into Pod Is War Thursdays on Chair Shot Radio Network to hear that.
There you go. You and Andrew Snowflake Balls over there?
Yes, sir. Andrew, do not call me Snowflake Balls, man. We had a pretty good show yesterday, man. So as soon as you guys get done listening to this, go back and check that out. Do it the culture, man. Do it for the babies.
They might already listen to it.
Well, they better have, and if they hadn't, man, I'm going to put foots up people's asses, man. That's what's going to happen now.
Before all you people out there in Chair Shot Radio Universe start pissing off Mr. Velvet Pipes over here, I'm going to jump right into Raw. Raw was a lot more exciting than SmackDown this week. We're coming off of the Royal Rumble. Velvet Pipes and myself, we discussed this before the show. We're pretty sure everybody knows what happened. Nakamura won the men's. Asuka won the women's. Ronda Rousey came out. The only titles that were exchanged were the Bar, new tag team champs. So, moving on to Raw, we set up the elimination qualifying matches, and we had three of those very matches this week. Talk to me a little about last man standing, Braun Strowman versus Kane, and Braun just flips the announce corridor stage right up on top of Kane. Kane's gone. Angle's pissed. Braun said, "You told me it was a last man standing match."
Well, before I get to that, Commish, man, one more time for the culture, I have to give kudos to the women and their first annual Royal Rumble. I'm assuming it's going to be annual, but their first Royal Rumble, they did the damn thing. Yeah. they did the damn thing, man. It had everything that you could possibly want in a Rumble, and I'm looking forward to it now being a yearly tradition. That being said, where is the architect when you need him? Because we need somebody to go,
it's laziness on my part. Let's not throw him completely under the bus. I could have went and grabbed more of that sound, but I didn't.
Well, what's the point? He's not here, man. What's the point if we can't throw him under the bus when he's not here?
All right, fair enough, fair enough. DP, you better put on some armor. You're going
under
the bus.
All right, fair enough. And Bob Ryan's probably going to be the one that lands the bus on you, man. I think that's going to be his next trick.
I like it. I like it.
I love it, though, man. I mean, everything that he does, it just keeps getting more and more ridiculous and more over the top. But I love it. I am so here for Bron, man. And the biggest thing that I love about this Bron thing and everything that he's doing, from flipping ambulances to trying to kill people, I guess they had it coming because everybody tried to kill him, too. But the thing that I love about this most, man, is that it adds back an air of spontaneity and an air of anything can happen, you know, an air of unpredictability to the proceedings. And we really haven't had that in wrestling really since the Monday Night Wars. So I'm here for it, man. It's totally over the top. It's totally ridiculous. And I love it because it's what professional wrestling is all about.
That's a great point. The backstage segments that are so big and over the top, like you said, I mean, first pulling the scaffolding down, now flipping the stage over. Before it was getting thrown in the dumpster, you know, then it was backing up the ambulance into the semi, you know, all that cool stuff harkens back to the day when Austin would drive the Zamboni down, or Angle with the milk truck, or McMahon getting blown up in the limousine, right?
No, I totally agree, man. And the scaffold with the, what was it, with the grappling hook? Dude, the funniest thing about that whole scenario was that after he dropped it and everybody, you know, freaked out and whatnot, everybody's over there with Brock Lesnar, man. They're helping him to the ambulance and everything, and they put him on the stretcher, and everybody's worried about Brock. And then if you look at the corner of your television screen, you see poor Kane sitting over there getting
no
up.
No one gives a shit.
Nobody's helping him. Yeah, nobody gives a shit. Nobody's helping him. Nobody's paying him any attention. That's the funniest thing about that whole scenario, man. Poor Kane, man.
Oh boy, that's a great point. So another match we had qualifying for the Elimination Chamber would be Matt Hardy versus Elias, and Elias would take the victory here. I believe there was a little bit of help from Bray Wyatt in some kind of form or fashion of interruption. But what are Elias's odds here? Because this is a guy who's actually on the up and up, one of the best up rising stars that could be a new face in a main event scenario. What are the odds he maybe works his way into a main event at WrestleMania this year?
Come on, PC, really?
All right, really, I gotta ask the questions. You know, I don't always believe it when I ask the questions, but I gotta ask them.
Fair enough. Right, I know you.
Where do you see Elias going then towards Mania?
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious, man. They're setting up a program with him and Cena. You know, he got the best of Cena on Raw 25. Cena eliminated him in the Royal Rumble, so I think that's where they're going to go. I still maintain, had Samoa Joe not gotten hurt, that's where we were heading for Mania, man. So I'm going to try my hardest to maintain my credibility. But that seems like that's where we're going. And, you know, if you can't be in the main event spot, that's not a bad secondary option, man, to be having a program with Cena. He's going to learn a lot from Cena, and Cena's going to give him the rub. And just being next to Cena elevates him. Win, lose, or draw, that elevates him because he's going to be there every week.
Couldn't agree with that anymore. Let's talk about John Cena and his Super Cena victory over Finn Balor, getting him into the Elimination Chamber. I'm hearing rumors that Finn is going to end up going up against Miz for the IC title, possibly, or we could end up seeing a New Day versus Balor Club kind of thing at WrestleMania. Thoughts on all of that stuff for Finn Balor?
New Day and Balor Club would be interesting, man. I think they could put on a pretty good match, and if you give them enough time, that could possibly be a show stealer. As far as with the Miz, yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense, man. Kudos to both of those guys, though, John Cena and Finn Balor, man. That was a hell of a match that they had on Monday night. It really was. Like, I stayed up for it, and I was fighting sleep, but it was an outstanding match. And it lets the smarks and the internet dudes with the Cheeto crumbs on their shirts, wiping them on their pants, it lets you guys know that they are still factoring Finn Balor in very largely into the main event picture. I mean, he was in the final four of the Royal Rumble, and then he has this great match with John Cena. Maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing for him, is to give him that IC title and let him have a long IC title run. because, I mean, the main event picture is pretty much locked up right now. So that might not be the worst thing about it. But we still also have to remember that somehow, some way, somewhere down the line, he's going to get a title match because he lost the title and he never got beat. So he's going to get that title match at some point in time, Internet. So calm the fuck down, please and thank you.
There you go. Listen up, IWC. MVP's talking over here.
You're damn right.
Now, I brought up Miz and the Intercontinental Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, you know, and I'm always intercontinental when I eat French toast. Shout out to my boys, the Beastie Boys, right? So,
pop!
Miz would retain over Reigns. I thought it was an excellent match that they had on Raw. Talk to me about what we're going to do with Reigns now. I'm guessing he's going to be in a qualifying match for that Elimination Chamber next week, right? That's what we've all been thinking all along.
Talk to me about what we're going to do with Reigns right now, really, PC?
All right, talk really to me about Miz then. If Miz doesn't face Balor, who's he got?
That's a good question, man, because I've heard the Balor thing as well. I've also heard Braun Strowman. I don't really like the idea of that so much. If it's not Finn, I don't know who else would you put in that match. I mean, maybe Seth Rollins. I thought him and Jason Jordan were going to do something, but Jason apparently is legitimately injured, so his WrestleMania future is in doubt. So maybe you put Seth Rollins in that match somehow. I don't know. Other than that, I really don't know. The only thing that I can say for sure about Miz is that with him getting two wins over Roman this month, I could see him being the first challenger for Roman coming out of WrestleMania after his match with Brock Lesnar, because he can play that whole angle up. Number one, say, well, I beat you and blase this, blase that, and I'm the real champ. And number two, Miz is probably the only guy in the company that you can put next to Roman that will get legitimate heat and consistent heat and be and get the fans behind Roman. So I think that would be a smart way for them to go. I could see Miz, maybe Braun Strowman. You can make that argument because their feud was so hot last year. But I think coming out of Mania, whether he's the IC champ or not, I think that's where he's going to go. So I think that's where his future is. As far as Mania, that's up in the air, man. I'm taking a wait-and-see approach.
And we'll get to all that, folks, every week here on thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Always. Now, one last note from Raw. There will be the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match. The rumor I've heard is that we're going to have, obviously, Alexa defending the title, Nia, Sasha, Bayley, Mandy, and Sonya Deville. What do you think of those six combatants being in the Elimination Chamber?
You know, this is a really tough match, and I remember that I've heard WWE writers and ex-wrestlers talk about the initial elimination chambers and how difficult and taxing of a match it is. So I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't know if this is the best venue for the women. Like, they're going to beat the shit out of each other, man, and they're going to come out of there battered, bloodied, and bruised. So I question that decision, but I understand where they're coming from. That lineup is kind of cool, man. I've heard rumors that maybe we get Nia, they get a title switch, and we get Nia and Asuka at Mania. That would be cool if they had done more to protect Nia. I don't really think that's where they're going to go. I still think we're going to get, really, I don't know what they're going to do, man, because I think we're going to get Asuka and Charlotte at Mania. So on the Raw side of the game, man, I don't know. Maybe the Pinky and Brain in the Brain situation or relationship implodes and we end up getting Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss at Mania for the title somehow, some way.
That's what I've been hearing right there, is Alexa and Nia to finish out that storyline, which has been going for a while now, like you said. So that's something that it could be a really quality payoff and lead to a couple more matches early in April as we go into May. So let's slide on. Go ahead.
That's what's so cool right now, though, man, about this Mania season, because typically around this time of year, things are kind of fleshed out. And even if it's not official, like a ref's whistle, you kind of know where they're going to go with things leading into Mania. But as of right now, man, there's a lot of things up in the air. And part of that is due to injuries. Part of that is due to people coming back, people maybe not coming back. There's just a lot of loose threads right now. And we really don't know what's about to happen, man. And I'm just going to sit back as a fan and enjoy the ride. So kudos to WWE, man. They've gotten off to a pretty strong year thus far.
Okay, one topic left here before we get to the interview you've all been waiting for, Sin Bodhi and Jake the Snake Roberts. We are going to talk about the number one contendership Fatal 4-Way from SmackDown Live for the United States Championship. Rusev would go ahead and win that number one contendership on Rusev Day. Believe it or not, he actually accomplished this, defeating Jinder Mahal, Kofi Kingston, and Zack Ryder. I think it's a really good pick by the WWE to have Rusev start this feud with Rude. Now, Rude has the people on his side, has the great entrance. Everybody loves Rusev, but Rusev is that over-the-top character where I think he can actually make this something interesting that people are going to want to watch. Do you think that we can end up with a double turn by the end of this program?
That's why you're the commish, man. You literally just took the words straight out of my mouth. That is why you're the commish. Put yourself over, man. Give yourself a round of applause. Or do that. But I totally think that's where that's going because, I mean, Bobby Roode is a de facto face. And honestly, the only reason he's a face is because he's got the cool entrance music and the cool entrance. Because other than that, man, other than the entrance music, people are sitting on their hands when he's wrestling. Rusev is a face at this point. So maybe this is a good opportunity for the double turn, man. Now, as far as taking the title off of Roode, I think for whatever reason, they have high hopes for Roode. So I don't know if they're going to take the title off of him this quickly. But it might be one of those WWE things where they kind of trade the title back and forth for the weeks leading up to Mania, and then come Mania, they have the big blow-off, and whoever goes over goes over.
I like that. And you also got to remember you have the Aiden English thing to play in there, too. So at some point, you could see a little friction between him and Rusev. Add in a third person to kind of bump up that storyline is kind of what I was thinking there, too.
It's Rusev Day!
Today?
Yes.
You know that the WWE's slogan works for Rusev Day? Then, now, and forever. Rusev Day.
Pop. He's not the commish for nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, for DPP and Christopher Platt and myself, PC Tunney, that's all we got for you today. Mr. Velvet Pipes, you wanna shout out to the Chair Shot Radio universe here before we kick it into a commercial and send him into the interview?
Each and every Friday night on Chairshot Radio Network. You can see all of us, all the great shows, all the great podcasts, all the great writings, man. We do articles too, man, and we're really fucking good at it, man. At the Chairshot Radio, or excuse me, thechairshot.com. Again, thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to the Chair Shot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Class here.
Nice. I like it. What yes. You been up to?
Just training, doing shows, training, doing shows.
Yeah? What was the last show you did?
Where was I? I was in Arizona this weekend. And actually, that's not the right word. I had a show in Arizona on Saturday, and I was supposed to do a show in Central California on Sunday. And that was the SenCal show I had to cancel. It was the third show I've ever canceled in 19 years because I got a torn cornea.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to wrestle, but my girlfriend argued strongly against it. And, I'm a scary guy, but she's twice as scary. So she won that battle.
Well, you're a smart man. You listen to your girl.
Happy life, brother.
No one needs that kind of trouble. Anyway, hey, tell us how that happened.
As you guys know, like I wear like all the clown paint and the contact lens and the one eye. And, so I put a contact in my eye, and it was just an idiotic perfect storm. There was a tear in the center of my contact, and I didn't realize it. And so I'm wrestling with it, and then I'm in a turnbuckle, getting some heat put on me, and the wrestler, he was safe enough. He didn't do anything wrong. It was just a bad luck thing. He gave me an elbow in the face, which he dragged his tricep across my face, but my head was in the turnbuckle, so I had nowhere to go. So he just kind of scratched that already torn lens right across my cornea and pupil. And so when I got out of the match, as soon as I took the contact lens off, it just felt like my brain was on fire.
Did you,
and,
Could you tell right away during the match, or it wasn't until afterwards, like you said, when you took?
No, I couldn't tell until after the match. Like the contact lens sort of acted as sort of like a little bit of a Band-Aid, I guess. And when I took off the contact, when I took off the lens, that's when it really just flooded in. It just took like 30 seconds, and then it felt like I was on fire.
Did you go in? And did anybody look at it or anything, or no?
I'm sorry.
Did you go in and have it looked at it all, or no?
Yeah, I actually, like a lunatic, I drove 4.5 hours home, barely being able to blink, and I didn't have if I would drive away from my home, I usually have my woman come with me, and she was at home she had some other stuff she had to do, so I was literally driving by myself, and I was planning on getting home so I could get back to to go to the next show where she was going to ride with me. And I thought, okay, I just got to keep it together and just get home. So I just drove like Mr. Magoo and had both hands on the wheel and had my nose literally closer to the windshield than it was. I was like right up pressed up against the windshield practically. And it was just like my eye was watering the whole time. And I kept on squirting like an eye wash into my eye, not sure exactly what was happening. I got all the way home, grabbed a shower, and then I laid down for 10 minutes. And I had to get up an hour later so I could make the drive to California. And I was writhing around. I couldn't take it. And I told my girl, I'm like, I got to go to the hospital, because that's the last thing I wanted to do. But it was just so brutal. And I did. And so it ended up, the doctor was like, look, man, you could lose this. You could lose the vision in your eye. The abrasion is that bad. So, I was still going to do it. I thought, I could get through one match and then rest for a couple of weeks, because the next time I wrestle is in Mexico in 2 weeks from now. So I thought, okay, well, I got some downtime. I just wanted to get that match done. And I was in the main event. It was supposed to be a cage match, a main event. I don't want to disappoint anybody. But again, my girl was just like, look, if you screw this up and you wreck your eye forever, then you're not going to be any good to anybody. So I thought, okay, all right.
Plus, you want to be able to see with both eyes. Are you going to be good in 2 weeks to wrestle in Mexico, or how long are you going to be after to wait to let it heal?
Okay. I'm going to step outside where I can hear you, and then I'm going to tag off to Jake.
Oh, no worries.
I'll kind of tag in and out with Jake as we do
cool,
this.
Cool, for sure. No, I was just saying, how long do they think you're going to be out for?
They said... if it's not better in 10 days, then I might need surgery, but knock on wood, that's not the case. So trying to get in the light here where I can see you. That's better. I'm not sure.
No, you're good. You're good.
But anyway, my vision is coming back slowly. It's a fog. And when it first happened, I couldn't even barely blink to look out of my eye. And when I could, literally pull my eye open, I could just see fog. Right. So now I can see. Now I can see much better, but it's still nowhere near perfect. And but I heal quick, so
there you go. There you go. Hey, we heard the guys inside. What's going on tonight? Are we training tonight?
Yep, we're doing a class right now. We're here at the Snake Pit in Vegas. Me and Jake are teaching tonight. D'Lo's night was yesterday, and then I juggled the rest of the nights with both of these guys. So I usually do Mondays and Thursdays, Jake does Wednesdays, and D'Lo does Tuesdays, and then we sort of overlap each other. That way they get, a bit of an overlapping flavor. They get two or three coaches there at one time.
I've talked to you a couple times, and I've never asked you this question. How did you and Jake and D'Lo come together to do this venture?
Well, I've been friends with Jake I've been friends with both of them for a long time. Like, Jake is like the older brother I never had.
Okay.
And crazy uncle, whichever way you want to look at it.
So when did you first meet Jake?
I met Jake and wrestled him in England. And I want to say 2001 when I was just, I was just barely a year into the business. And then we met up again a year or two after that. We did a loop in Canada together, and he liked my look. He liked how I worked. He wanted me to come on the road with him, and he saw some potential, and he thought, I would be something that Vince would like, and he wanted to, help polish me a little bit, get rid of some indie bad habits and this and that and the other. So I did. I took him up on it, and been riding with him ever since. And, we've tagged and wrestled, and, we've laughed and cried. We've done all, you know, had the ups and downs together and all that crazy stuff. So we really formulated a very strong brotherhood over the years. And as far as D'Lo, I met D'Lo long time ago, maybe 03, 04, 05-ish, wrestling for Scott D'Amore in Windsor and Detroit.
Okay,
and then
sure.
We've just sort of been buddies ever since. We've just always been acquaintances and buddies, and this, you know, over the years, we just, you know, we've done more and more shows and just became closer and closer, and we all three of us wound up in Vegas. Completely all in separate ways, just serendipitously. Jake and I actually, we moved back to Vegas. So I moved back from Vegas from Florida. I was going back from Florida and LA, and I moved to Vegas on the promise of this big wrestling show happening here that never happened. And Jake did the same thing. Jake came from Atlanta on a handshake that, you know, we held up our end of the bargain. We moved here, but the promoter just never got the, you know, the proverbial plane off the ground.
Mm-hmm. But look what happened.
No, it's all good. I mean, you know, like, you know, I always make the best out of a situation. You know, I moved to Vegas originally in 2010, you know, when I was sort of done with WWE and, you know, nothing was happening with them or TNA. And, you know, I was still married to Stacy Carter at the time, and we both made a sort of a business decision that we were going to move out to Vegas. You know, I got the invite from Jim Rose, who's sort of like the Vince McMahon of Sideshow. He was the first call that I ever got for the day that I got released from WWE. He was the first guy that called me and was just like, hey, come to Vegas. We need to work together. And I thought that made perfect sense, you know, with the carnival gimmick and all that stuff. And he's a freak show guy. Like, he was the guy that helped kind of, you know, break Marilyn Manson back in like the Nine Inch Nail tours and all that stuff. Okay. So he was the crazy sideshow guy. I was the crazy sideshow wrestler. So it seemed like a perfect storm.
There you go. Perfect marriage.
And I've been in and out of Vegas ever since. And, you know, came back to Vegas, and then D'Lo had moved to Vegas. He was working with Godfather, who, you know, runs Cheetahs here in town. So there's always some fun, yep, fun stuff. And small amounts of spandex to be had in some shape or form in Las
Vegas. Love, you know, it.
So we all decided just to sort of figure, a 2-3 headed serpent is better than one. So, you know, that's what we did. And we all pooled our resources, and, you know, we were all buddies, and we thought, you know, this is, you know, it puts three different generations of WWE wrestlers under one roof, which is, that's pretty cool. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm go ahead.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm the junior, I'm the, you know, the youngest of the trainers, and I've got almost 19 years wrestling experience. And, you know, I've helped, you know, either break in or train, you know, a ton of stars that you see on WWE currently and TNA and stuff. And I'm the greenest of the three trainers. So that's got to tell you, you're in good company if you want to get trained to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, the school you guys have is amazing, and I'm sure the people that are coming to the school are getting nothing but the best in training from all aspects. But another cool thing you guys are doing that I want you to tell everybody about, because I think this is really cool, especially for fans, is the Fantasy Slam that you guys have going on as well.
Yeah, it's a really cool. Okay. So I've had this idea for just the longest time. I had this idea so long ago that I had this idea at a time when, you know, you'd have been blackballed for kind of breaking kayfabe. I never wanted to do it because for that exact reason, I was a pretty old school guy, even freak show wrestling. I mean, at, you know, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have caught me doing something like that. You know, that's just a very progressive way to think about wrestling, is, you know, adding comedy or, you know, theatrics is as far as that goes, you know, where the kayfabe is a little bit up in the air and all that stuff. Like, if I could wave a magic wand and, you know, be in like the 50s or 60s where everybody thought this was, you know, Gorgeous George and Killer Kowalski and all these, and Bruno Sammartino and all these guys that are like legit good guys and bad guys, I would have totally loved that. I would have taken every up and down that would have come with that kayfabe existence. But we live in this time. So, you know, I love working for the fans. You know, whether I'm a good guy or a bad guy. So I figured, well, what can we do to parlay our skills in the modern landscape? And the first idea was Freak Show, which, you know, there's so many other shows that are, you know, doing stuff like that now, which is cool. And I, you know, I've been called a pioneer, which makes me giggle. I think it's funny, but I'll take it. Like, it's cool.
Hey, man, innovative stuff is what's going on, you know?
Well, you know, and as far as the fantasy slam goes, it's kind of like another step like that. It's sort of, you know, if you want to play guitar with Gene Simmons and you want to pay a couple bucks, you can do a, you know, fantasy rock and roll camp or baseball, fantasy baseball or whatever. Right. So I thought, well, why not wrestling? I've got the demeanor and the patience to, you know, to
the patience. I think you hit it on the head there.
Well, here's the thing. It's like there's two different kind of people you're going to get in the ring. You're getting like wrestlers that want to train to be wrestlers. And then you've got, you know, the fantasy campers that want to scratch an itch on a bucket list, you know, and you can't talk to them like, you know, they're trying to make a giant career out of it. You've got to basically take them on a tour. You know, it's kind of like they're Billy Crystal in what was a movie where he was like on safari as like a cowboy. What was that? City Slickers.
There you go. Yep. You got it. With Jack Palance, right?
Yeah, he's a business guy living in the city. He wants to live out a fantasy of being a cowboy, so he goes out on the range and has an adventure. So that's what this is for, the fantasy slam. It's, you know, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, a plumber, an astronaut, you know, truck driver, a nurse, waitress, whatever you are, and you want to kind of scratch that itch in a very safe, playful environment, then that's what fantasy slam is built for. So, like the other day, I had a frog in my throat when I read the review on it. I had a mom bring her 20, I want to say he was 24 and he had like mild autism. Mm-hmm. So he was, you know, chubbier and this and that. He wasn't an athletic guy at all. And, you know, which is perfectly fine. Like I could get in the ring with Mr. Burns and make him look okay. You know, it's to make
excellent
feel like, yes, it's to make the fantasy camper feel like John Wayne or Superman. Like we're not going to bark at him like a wrestling coach would bark at him. We're not going to clobber him or whatever. We're going to keep them super safe. We're going to dance for them. You know, and whether all they can do is like, I don't care if you're an 80-year-old man and you want to pay for it and you, you know, get in the ring and you grab me by the wrist and I'll just jump around screaming bloody murder and you can Ric Flair me off the top ropes and hip toss me and choke slam me and whatever, whatever. You know, if that's what I need to do, then that's what's going to happen. And that's what this was. So again, so this family was vacationing from England and she brought her son in who had mild autism and I took him safely it was one of the half day camps and which was just a brand new feature that we just launched this month. And so you're in the ring for about 2.5 hours and then we have a match and we film it and you take photos and all the stuff. And so I had him in there. I walked him through some really safe stuff where I'm going to take all the bumps. I'm going to make him look like $1 million. We film it. And I mean, the mom was like in tears and she wrote the review of saying, you know, like this was one of the absolute best days of my son's life, you know, and I was like, I got a frog in my throat, like reading this, you know, heartfelt, you know, review. I just like, that's to me what it is to be a pro wrestler is to facilitate smiles. It's not to, I don't need to get myself over with a fancy move or whatever. Like I'll let my work rate get myself over and I'll let my karma get me over. You know, I think fans are like, you know, they're dogs that smell fear or, you know, what have you, like they know you're out there to have fun or not, you know, they know that you're feeling it or not. And so, you know, if I'm guilty of anything, it would be passion. So hopefully, you know, that was contagious for this guy and he had the time of his life and I had a hand in making that happen. So I just kind of was very karmatically happy the other day.
It's a great story. It sounds very rewarding. I mean, it's always nice when you can help anybody, you know, so to be able to do that and then to, you know, to have a mom to go out there and see her son in that way with you guys in the ring probably was just amazing on her side as well. You know, like you said,
and the neat thing that she was telling me was like, you know, he doesn't interact overly well with, you know, other people. He's very shy and very awkward and, you know, he's got all the, you know, all the baggage that comes with a situation like that. And I mean, this kid had opened up and he was laughing and giggling and having fun and jumping around and clobbered me and all this stuff. And he had the time of his life, you know, and he was just like, you know, the mom was just like, you know, I haven't seen therapists get that far with him in, you know, in like a year, let alone you had him for 2.5 hours and he, you know, made these strides. So I'm not saying I'm, you know, Mother Teresa or anything. I'm just saying I made somebody smile. That's all.
Sure. I mean, that speaks to you and that speaks to pro wrestling too. And the people that actually connect with it, there's a real, very deep connection the fans have with their love of professional wrestling.
And I think everybody that I've had in as coaches at the Fantasy Slam, like I personally you know, picked as far as like who I knew, who I know as coaches, who I know as colleagues that have the disposition to do that, because there's tremendous wrestlers, you know, for rent on the indie market to do whatever, but some of them just don't have the disposition to be in there with wrestling fans.
Tell everybody, you know, who tell everybody who you've had there. Promote it that a little bit, because you've had some big names there. I've heard the list. Tell everybody the list.
Yeah, I mean, Jake the Snake is as scary as he looks and sounds. Sweetest guy ever. Ricky Steamboat was just an awesome gentleman. Just so fun to have there. He had a blast, which was, I mean, I marked out just knowing Steamboat was having fun on my watch. That was pretty awesome that I facilitated that. D'Lo Brown's the same way. Gangrel is just, I cannot say how awesome of a professional he is and just how awesome of an earthling he is. Like, Gangrel is just one of the coolest, most awesomest dudes that I know on this planet. Like, he is just, he's just a full-on proper dude. That's just the best way I can put it. Jimmy Hart was awesome. Kiki Tara was awesome. Shelly Martinez was awesome. I mean, everybody I've had in here has been nothing but, and I'm so flattered that, you know, these guys and girls are my friends and my colleagues and my mentors and my brothers, you know, and just to rub shoulders with them and be in the ring with them and help teach, you know, these fantasy campers together. Like, you know, me and D'Lo and Steamboat putting our heads together to, you know, to do one of those inaugural camps where we were kind of like treading in new territory. So even, you know, that's, again, three generations of wrestling stars, you know, putting their heads together to figure out how to take this fan for a very safe ride, you know, and how to make them look good, how to keep ourselves safe, how to keep them safe. And I mean, you know, brainstorming with Steamboat and D'Lo. So, I mean, you got me from that PG era, which ironically is weird. How un-PG am I? You've got Attitude era in D'Lo. And then you've got the, you know, the golden, you know, the '80s era in Steamboat. I mean, you know, so three generations of guys brainstorming on how to facilitate this camp, you know. And Jake was, you know, like a godfather to this whole sort of petri dish experiment that is Fantasy Slam, you know, helping me along the way. Like, we collaborate. Like, I was joking, say, you know, Ed Wood and Bela Lugosi, you know, and he'd tell me to go F myself and we'd get a good,
you know, not Jake.
Yeah. Well, you know, he swears once in a while. But yeah, and Gangrel, I mean, Jimmy Hart and Gangrel, just Jimmy Hart is such a workhorse and so nice and sweet. And then Gangrel is so patient. I thought I was patient until, you know, I spent time with Gangrel.
You know, anytime you bring up Gangrel, and I know he's done so much more and accomplished so much in the business, but my favorite freaking entrance ever, no disrespect to anybody else, but when he comes up, you know, from the Brood.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, to see, okay. So speaking on just on that alone. So seeing these wrestlers or wrestling fans, these fantasy campers get in the ring and then seeing Jimmy Hart walk through the door, let alone an entrance with Pyro, or seeing Gangrel walk through the curtain and knowing that vampire is getting in the ring with you.
Sure.
You know, just watching their jaws drop and watching them giggle in this like excited anticipation, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Oh my God, oh my God. You know, and everybody pulls it together and everybody's done great. And I've had literally, you know, guys that are, you know, in decent shape. I had this one dude that was a lawyer, good sized guy, maybe about 30, mid 30s, good shape. And he picked it up awesome. I mean, I could have just wrestled that guy legit on an indie show, you know, after we were done with him. You know, Gangrel rolled him around, moved him around. I moved him around. And by the time he was done on his 3-day camp, I mean, I could have taken that guy to any indie show wherever. You know, it was awesome. And then I've had guys that are, you know, almost 60 years old, been in the ring, or the young man with the autism, you know, like all these different guys, and we're turning them into, you know, a wrestler for a day. It's like a 3-day wrestling career. Like they're having their, you know, they're getting their feet wet and they're having their retirement match all the same time. You know, it's a pretty interesting.
It's a quick life cycle.
It's pretty, you know, surreal. No, and again, just watch the eyes, watching the looks on their faces. Like when Jake walks through the door, Gangrel walks through the door, Jimmy Hart walks through the door, like just watching their faces go, holy crap, that's Jimmy Hart. Oh my God, that's Gangrel. You know, just watching them lose their minds is just super cool for me.
Yeah. It's gotta be, like I said, very rewarding no matter what you're doing, whether you're teaching the students or you're doing the Fantasy Slam. I know you guys got it going out there in Las Vegas. You talk about Mexico coming up. What's going on in Mexico at the show down there?
I got a show in Mexicali, February 10th. Will be me and my Freak Show Wrestling champion, Funny Bone, who is just an awesome wrestler, possibly the best wrestler in, well, let's say the second best wrestler in Las Vegas. Awesome. Got a great character. He was just like how I was trained by Jake. He was the last guy out of the Nick Bockwinkle camp. So, I mean, he can get it done on the mat, in the air, throw a knuckle sandwich for knuckle sandwich. And his gimmick is just awesome. He's a good guy, family man, you know, family man out of the ring, and just an awesome, brutal opponent in the ring. A lot of fun to work with. We're sort of frenemies. You know, we either wrestle each other or we tag, and then we wrestle each other and then we tag. You know, we do a lot of that. He's sort of like my unofficial little brother. I like picking on him, but I just don't like when other guys pick on him. So that's how we kind of came out of tagging.
I was just going to say, that's what it sounded like. You know, you guys can beat up on each other when you disagree, but then when someone else picks on somebody, it's like, no, I'm the only one that picks on that guy, like you said. So,
yep. Nope. And we're tagging against two really cool competitors. This big, huge dude from SenCal named Sledge. He's a big boy. He can go. He's strong. He's talented. And his tag partner is Bestia 666. So I'm looking forward to beating the crap out of Damien's son. That's going to be fun.
There you go.
And then from there, well, back to Mexicali. Where am I going? I'm going back to Arizona for AWF. I'm going just all over the damn place. I'm going to Quebec for NSPW, where I will wrestle the son of Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, wow.
That's in March. I'll make an appearance at the ICP show in Las Vegas. Lots of stuff going on.
What's your favorite place to go nowadays? I'm sure that you have familiar places that you go to every so often on a routine. What's your favorite place to go and wrestle nowadays?
Lately, I've been having a lot of fun in Arizona. I just love traveling. You know, when I get to another show, like I had a blast wrestling the Von Erich boys a little while ago in Wichita for Imperial. That was a lot of fun. Again, I'm looking forward to just wrestling guys I've, you know, never seen, you know, like Abdullah's son. That's going to be pretty cool. Haven't been to Montreal in a long time. Snow Mexico, you know. It's going to be
a little farther north.
Over, yeah. I mean, there's great shows all over, and I just enjoy going everywhere. I love getting in front of a new audience. I love getting in the ring with new talent. You know, as much as I love wrestling and tagging with Funny Bone, I love getting in the ring with new meat. That's my favorite thing.
I wish you'd come up to Milwaukee sometime where we are.
Hey, well, you got a local promoter to bring me on in, and I'm down to do it. I love traveling. I'm down to Milwaukee for sure.
I know a couple of guys.
There you go.
Hey, let me ask you.
I had a lot of fun wrestling. Not too far from there. Wrestled for Eugene's show in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
Which
is a little bit west.
Yeah, a little bit west of there, but Eugene has a really fun show. I'm just trying to think. There's just so many shows all over the place that are really good.
Can I ask you a non-wrestling question?
Yes.
You going to be watching the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll actually watch it over at Jake's house.
All right. Who's your team?
I don't care what inning somebody goes over in. All I got to say is go Penguins.
So you don't really care about the game. You're just there for the party.
That's it. I don't watch that fake stuff.
Okay, gotcha. I was going to ask you a really important football question. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
I'll fudge it. Yes.
No. We got Tom Brady, you know, in the Patriots versus the Eagles and the quarterback replacing the injured quarterback. So my important football question to you is, do you think that Pink's national anthem will go more than 2 minutes?
Oh boy. They better turn that into a Broadway. Let's have it go 60 minutes.
Oh boy. Good grief. You like the swerve there?
Yeah. Why not? Why the heck? You know what? I don't know a whole lot about football. I don't know if that'll make half your audience hate me. I don't know.
No.
An artsy fartsy nerd. I don't know. I'll literally be bugging Jake, be like, hey, who are the guys in the red jackets? Hey, who are the guys in the blue undies? Hey, who's this guy? Why do they do this?
Can we get some more dip? Can we get some more dip out here or what?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we're the cheesies, motherfucker. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I think I'll just have fun bugging Jake and asking him all sorts of stupid questions about the football.
Perfect.
The American hand soccer.
Is there any other wrestling that's on TV that a lot of fans have access to that you watch nowadays at all or no? Anything you keep up with?
Say that again.
Is there any wrestling on TV that a lot of fans have access to that you keep up with at all? Do you watch any WWE or follow Ring of Honor, New Japan, and keep up with any of those matches at all?
Yeah, I try to watch just about everything. I'm a student of the game. I like to know the landscape of my industry. I thought the Royal Rumble was possibly one of the best in a long, long time, one of the best pay-per-views all year.
Agreed.
I thought the talent was really good.
How about the Women's Rumble? Just the Women's Rumble being brand new, how did you think that went over?
I thought it was great. I thought the Women's Rumble was awesome. I thought it's always neat to see in the Rumbles when they have a surprise guy or two. You know, they could always, you know, be, you know, a little more clever here or there, pick a spot here or there, you know, when they need it at the right time. But the women's was just so overflooded, and as it should have been since it was a precedented first. But I thought it was awesome. I have no complaints about it. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, actually, I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool to see.
What outside WWE should people be watching that maybe they're not watching that you pay attention to?
I think I was always a big fan of Lucha Underground, but I think right now I think the show to watch is The Crash. I think that show is awesome. I think PCW Ultra is awesome. And I think there's a lot of shows. And I just think, you know, wherever you are, there's going to be good, bad, or indifferent shows. And I just think any which way you cut it, support indie wrestling.
I agree. There's tons of shows to go to. It's a whole much better experience when you're out there and you're that much close to the action as opposed to just watching it on TV. And with that being said, what a great time to be a wrestling fan because there's so much access to different kinds of wrestling all over the world right now.
Oh, there's so much. There's so much stuff going on. I think all the New Japan stuff is awesome. I thought Jericho and Kenny Omega, I thought all that stuff was tremendous.
Now he's going to face off against Naito.
What's that?
He's facing off against, he's going up against Naito out in Japan now too in a new storyline or something. I think he stayed out there and he's doing another angle.
I love all of it. I love everything about it. I love the strong style stuff, the lucha stuff, the American stuff. You know, I love just everything. You know, I've got my favorites, but there you go. All right, well, I'm gonna tag out to Jake here, and I'll let you talk to Jake for a bit, and then when he gets cold here, I'll tag back out.
All right, thanks, man. Right? Sounds good.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro?
Jake, good to see you. How you been?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
How's it going in there? Are you roughing them up or what?
Yeah, I'm aggravating them. Yeah. Sometimes you got to piss him off to get what you want.
Before we talk some wrestling, I was just talking to Sin. He said he's going to come over to your house and he's going to bug you during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course he is. He'll be asking. He'll be asking me. You know, things like, is this the third period? You know, he'll ask me hockey questions during the game because he knows nothing about football. So there you go.
So, who's the snake? Who's the snake rooting for on Sunday?
I hope the Eagles win, man.
Me too.
You know, just to be different and to keep it rolling, man. They gotta build some more heels. They gotta get somebody else over besides the Patriots.
Well, they got a stingy defense, so that's always a good part of being a bad football team, right? A badass football team has a good defense.
There you go. The only weak spot they have is at quarterback, and Foles didn't do that bad. So there you go. Let's see what happens, man. Roll the dice.
I agree.
One thing's for sure. You know, not take your foot off the gas if you're the Eagles. You better keep that foot on the gas the whole damn game.
Hey, well, listen to that now. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to listen to this, and they're going to know that Jake Roberts is in their corner on Sunday.
There you go. There you go. Hey, if they lose it, it's because they didn't listen to me.
Damn right. Damn right. Talk to me about what you got going on in there teaching them students at Snake Pit Pro Wrestling.
Oh, bro. We're just, you know, each week I just come in here and I go with what I feel, man. And tonight they're having a rough night because I'm punishing them. I'm making them work hard. Lots of tackles, lots of up and downs. And I'm teaching them fine-tuning stuff, foot placement, you know, how to look aggressive without killing people. You know, that's a key point. You know? And trying to teach them how to look aggressive is not easy with that, because, you know, they're green and they don't know how to bring it without bringing it, you know. So
it's kind of like when you were, you know, in the ring, there's not a wasted time in the ring. You're always on, you know, the face is always displaying a story. You're always displaying the story. And then you talked if you had to, right?
That's right. That's right. And we didn't do much of that. And there's no need to. Go in there and act and react. That's what I try to teach them. You know, all else fails, go back to your basics, man. Grab a hold. Make that hold work. Get everything out of that hold. One tackle can mean as much as 10. You know, other shit's just wasted bullshit. You know, that's why I try to tell people about, you know, if I give you 3 clotheslines, who's tough, me or you? Neither one of us. We're both lying shit. You know, because if I hit you 3 clothesline and you get up, I'm getting the hell out of the damn ring and leaving. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what guys do. They go in there and they destroy their own credibility by making themselves look weak when they think they're making themselves look strong. No, strong is control. When you control people, when you maneuver people and you hold them down, that's control. Nobody likes to be held down. Remember the old Indian torture crap you used to do to your little brother when you held him down and tacked him in the chest 50 times, man? That's the shit that makes you crazy. People can identify with that. But if I get you up and clothesline you 3 times, neither one of us is tough. We're both phony pieces of shit. So stop doing it. You know, I've seen the Austin thing where he gave all the McMahons the bump, you know, and it was nice seeing the people pop, you know, but for a brief moment I was jealous because I was thinking to myself, would they have popped louder for me DDT and all 3 of them? I think they would have.
I would have.
They would have their britches, man.
There might have been a hole in my ceiling if that would have happened, man. I would jump right up out of my chair. I'll tell you what. Hey, let me ask you about Raw 25 real quick. How was it to see them back at the old Manhattan Center? Because I know you were on Raw back at the old Manhattan Center, right?
Yeah. It was okay seeing them back there, you know. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was jealous of not being there, you know, for whatever reason. I guess it's because I wasn't on Raw much before I left, but whatever. You know, I would have liked to have been a part of it. I always want to be a part of it. I'll never quit wanting to be a part of it. But, you know, they got their reasons of why they do things and why they don't. And I just have to accept them and smile and keep going. That's what I'm trying to do, trying to play nice. So that's what I'll do. But I'm working on the book. The book's about finished and book one. And I know everybody is just going to eat this stuff up, man, because it's the first book I think that's ever came out that's, well, number one, it's about me and about nobody else, which is totally different. Usually they want to talk about everybody else, not themselves, but I had enough going on that I could talk about me. And I go in depth about the beginnings and how tough it was and what I had to do to get better. And I go territory to territory, and I take you along with me on that trip. So that's pretty good stuff. And my first book ends with me going into the WWE. So okay. That's 600 pages of early Jake.
Oh, man.
And it's going to be really in-depth. It's going to be awesome, brother. I hope everybody loves it as much as I loved writing it.
I know we will. If there's anything you can do, it's tell a story, regardless of whether you're using words or not. And I would imagine when you have access to words, it's going to be an even better story. Yeah. Is there a working title yet or anything? Any information you can give us?
No, I thought about several titles, and I even came up with one today that I thought about briefly. But I'm going to leave it alone. I was going to go with I could have been the champ. You know,
You should have been the champ.
No, I didn't need it, bro. I didn't need it. I just needed the money. Keep the belt. That's going to be the name of it. Keep the belt. Give me the money.
There you go. You just did it. Right there.
I think so.
I love it.
I think that's what I'm going to go with. Keep the belt. I'll take the money. Pay me.
The early days of Jake the Snake Roberts.
There you go. I like that.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Well,
all right, bro. Listen, I'm going to get off here because I don't want these guys to get lost. I'm going to give you back to Sin because he's long-winded. And
Jake, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah. Sin Booty.
Sin Booty.
Come on back here. I mean, he's only got one eye.
Yeah,
he's probably a better worker with one eye.
He's got to get better at the Three Stooges defense.
There you go. Here he is, bro.
Thanks, Jake.
Hey, brother.
Hey, Sin.
All right, so I'm here. I'm going to hold us, let you see last end of a spot. So
no worries. I know you're super busy. I appreciate you taking all the time and the great stories. I will have you back on again. Do you want to just promote everything that you got going on right now and tell everybody about the school again real quick?
Sure. Thank you. Well, for me and Jake's Twitters is my Twitter is all of my social media, Facebook's Twitter, Instagram is Sin Bodhi, SinnBodhi. And Jake's is Jake Snake DDT. And for the wrestling school, it's Snake Pit Pro. I'm going to go outside here where you can hear me. So for the Snake Pit, it is Snake Pit Pro on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And Fantasy Slam is the same on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
What's the best way to get a hold of you if they want to be a student at Snake Pit?
If people want to come and train with us at Snake Pit, they can find us on Facebook. Let me get under this light here. You find us on Facebook under the Snake Pit, Pro Wrestling Academy, and you can send us a message, and we'll get back to you and we'll sort you out for sure. Whether you want to wrestle, whether you want to be a manager, referee, we'll take care of you. If you want to visit for a week, you want to come in for a month, you want to stay for 3 months or even a day pass, we'll accommodate you. The school is built for anybody from a beginner to advanced. So if you've been wrestling for 5, 6, 7 years and you know how to do a moonsault and an eye gouge, come on in and we'll show you what to do with it and how to market yourself and how to put what where psychologically.
And then
that's the part indie guys have. Like, there's a lot of super athletic, super talented indie guys that can do just a boat ton of moves, and they don't know where and why and how to place everything, and they end up kind of cutting their nose to spite their face. And that just seems to be, to me, the biggest problem on the indie landscape. And I think any old school road guy would agree. Mm-hmm. And that's primarily what the Snake Pit is for. It is to help, you know, guys that are a little bit past getting their feet wet and they want to learn what to do with their repertoire.
Understood. Now tell everybody about when the next Fantasy Slam is and then where they can follow along with that.
Okay. So Fantasy Slam, we do the half day camps Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here in Las Vegas during the daytimes. You can book that on fantasyslamprowrestling.com and, or you can message us on Facebook and we'll sort you out with an appointment. And then our next camp is with Jake the Snake. It's a 3-day camp, and it is in February, middle of February. All the details will be on the website. And, yeah, come on in. There's one of my students spitting as I close off here. Thanks.
Hey, it's wrestling, I guess, Jake, man. What are you going to do? Jake said he was rough on him tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, the same ballet.
There you go. Hey, Sin, thank you again. I appreciate every time you guys come on. We love what you're doing out there. I know Dan has actually been out there and at the school and met D'Lo, and we're hoping to get back out and see you guys in person again, and we appreciate your time, man.
Well, my pleasure, dude. Anytime. Anyway. I think keep your fingers crossed, but we might even do some Snake Pit shows one of these days. That seems to be an inevitability.
Sweet. Any last words for everybody out there?
Yeah, guys, just support your local wrestling shows, support your local wrestlers. You know, all these guys and girls are doing this for love of the game. They're making a couple of bucks if they're lucky. So, you know, buy their shirts and their 8x10s, especially if you like their performance. You know, it only helps them facilitate a better career to give you guys better matches and give shows, you know, more talent where you, the fan, get to, you know, enjoy. So we're here for you. Like, we make no sense on planet Earth unless the wrestling fans are enjoying us. So we need you guys. And so if you want to support us, we will entertain you. That's just the best way I can say it. And again, for anybody who wants to get their feet wet and just get a really fun taste of what wrestling is, check out the Fantasy Slam. And if you're a pro wrestler or want to be a pro wrestler, come and check out the Snake Pit. Take care of you.